Hello, hello, and welcome back to Retrieving Sanity, your podcast for all mental health, addiction, recovery issues, and topics. Now, today, we have our co-host, Simbrero, or Simboni, or Simba.
That makes it sound like I have a personality disorder.
That's what we actually discussed last time, and I was like, oh, so, like, a creep? And you're like, a crepe? And I was like, oh, yeah.
A crepe.
And I almost called it Italian, and then you were like, it's French, and I was like, oh, yeah, see, that sounds better. That sounds right. Anyways, I had to accept that I didn't know how to pronounce that. And I also had to accept that I'm not very familiar with breakfast items from around the world. Like an intercontinental breakfast, I'm pretty sure I'd be like inept at it, choosing which one would be from which region. Except for like if it were pancakes, because I think pancakes are American. No, I say that and I'm going to be so wrong.
You're going to be canceled. They're not American.
Simba, what do you find in life that is acceptable or unacceptable? Because we went over this a little bit. We went over this a little bit last time in our last episode, and we kind of ended it with acceptance. But that's the thing. Like, what is it? Where do we find that it's okay to accept some things? Is it okay to not accept some things? What's your take on it real quick?
I guess every situation is going to have its own... it's different. Like, you're gonna have to accept accordingly. There's some things you can accept out of a situation and some things you can't. Or really accepting is kind of accepting that you're not in control of anything in any situation, really. You might have an influence or an input or advice, but like ultimately it's a free world out here. Free will run riot.
Oh, and that's what's terrible for us addicts. But no, you have a really good point. We can only influence so much. That saying, having a gun to someone's head and making them do something, like, I'm sorry, but that still doesn't make me do something, right? I can still sit there and say no, and then I just
have to... You would be accepting that you're going to get shot for not accepting their terms. See?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing is that I accept the consequences, but I'm not about to bow down to you and make you feel better. You have power over me because you don't, right? I'm not about to give someone that false sense of superiority because they're power hungry and all they have is a gun. If you're going to kill me, use your bare hands. And they better come from a bear, too. You better bare hands. If you're going to kill me. But so we had said that we can only influence so much, right? And I feel like sometimes the world tries to influence us in such a way that it's really difficult for us to really separate ourselves from situations sometimes. What do you think about that?
Yes, because there's the difference between like what I accept and what I know society will accept.
What society will accept.
Yes. And and all that goes from growing up. We were Catholic growing up and like, it didn't matter what was going on at home. We couldn't miss Sunday school because it was bad. You know, like that was unacceptable.
Just
missing Sunday school. But I mean, there were times where we shouldn't have been anywhere. But okay. Acceptance goes a long ways in this story now because people would just accept that we would show up in whatever condition. You know, like no one ever questioned and was like, is everything all right at home?
Oh, you mean like if you just showed up like with ripped jeans and like,
yeah, or like,
and you're only like 4 years old?
I mean, or just like show up knowing that like you obviously like something's going on at home.
Oh, yeah.
And people just like don't question these things, or they've accepted that, oh, that's just this family, you know?
Yeah, like accepted that it's not their problem because it's not their house. So why bother in someone else's mess? And in a sense, I can see where that's like handy to keep your hands out of other people's business. But at the same time, you never know whenever someone really needs that help and it needs to come from an outside source, because if you're surrounded by the influence that's affecting your life so much like that, then it's just going to do nothing but just beat you down, right?
Yeah, and so I'm glad you said that. And honestly, like, I've been refraining from like touching on this subject with like anybody, because I still feel some type of way. But you know, our brother that passed away from treatment, I honestly, like, I think about it all the time. I legit think about it all the time, and I've been thinking about it a lot more lately, and I feel like I shouldn't have deflected, because like how you just said, people keep their hands out of their business. Maybe I should have talked to him myself. Maybe instead of reaching out to someone who I would see as a professional to intervene, if they could, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, you can only accept or unaccept people's help. You can't, a counselor can't come up to you and be like, hey, let me work with you, and you don't have to say yes.
True.
And so I lately I've been thinking, I was like, maybe I should have stepped in. Maybe I should have just pulled him up to the side and like been like, look, hey, what's going on? You know? Yeah. Or like, can we talk about like what we talk about instead of just like, you know? So I don't know. I'm glad you said that, because that really touched on something that's been on my mind with that. Because I guess for some reason or another, I still haven't accepted the way things played out.
I totally feel you on both the brother and there's a very similar situation that's happened at my living situation lately. And it's left a lot of us sitting there going like, well, what could we have done different? Did I do enough? Did I do something wrong? Did I so on and so forth? And I think what it really boils down to with acceptance is that that person had a choice and they chose to go with it. And that's the part that we have to accept. And then we also have to accept that what we did was right in the moment, you know? And I think that if I don't accept that kind of thing sometimes, then it's just going to eat away at me, because it starts a whole game of what if. Like, what if I did this? What if I did that? What if they reacted this way if I did that? Or, well, and ultimately, it's like we're trying to control an outcome that we had no control over in the first place.
Because I feel like society just saw his situation as like, oh, it happens to these people. Oh, you know, like the common things that I got from everybody, they're like, oh, it was bound to happen. And yep. I guess I punished myself, and I didn't think about that until you just said that. I needed to learn that, like, I did what I could at the time where this was going on. Obviously, I didn't feel comfortable or confident in myself that I could have made a difference. So I reached out to the people I knew or were trained or professionals or could have, you know, that I saw that they could have made a difference. So I did what I could have done in the situation, you know?
Yeah. And in that sense, because I'm a little bit more versed in what happened, it also felt like it kind of fell on deaf ears. But I mean, that's what you were saying about, like, society views it as like, oh, it's going to happen eventually. It happens all the time. It doesn't matter if it happens all the time. It doesn't matter if it's like part of recovery and stuff, you know, it's like, it's still someone's life. And I'm like, man, I don't know. There's just part of me that's like, I've always got to try and help out people as much as I can and do as much as I can. But whenever I do that, I'm not accepting that I can't do everything. And I think that's one of the hard parts, is that, and I think that's where part of acceptance comes into play, is that I can't do everything. If I try to do everything, I'm just going to stretch myself so thin that it's like pizza dough. You get it too thin and you poke a hole in it, it just, like, the whole thing just, like, falls apart, right? Seriously, because, like, you just stretch it in a little hole, and if you're still applying all that pressure, all it does is just immediately rip. And yeah. That's what happens if I stretch myself too thin, literally. And it's something that has, from experience, or rather also watching and hearing other people's stories, sit there and tell me and show me that if I exert too much of myself, I won't have enough left for me to really do what I need to do. And I think that is a hard part to accept too, because in recovery, I'm a lot less selfish, and I have to learn how to be somewhat selfish at the same time, or accept, right?
Yeah. I think the term, because me and my sponsor just went over this, and he was describing it. He's like, it's not really like self, because he's like, self-care comes in different forms, and it's not it's not selfish, you know? And to me, self-care, I go from one extreme to another, to like over-caring for somebody or the world to not caring at all and calling it self-care. So yeah. I'm like trying to find this medium of like doing what I can, but accepting that what I do might not be what is needed, you know?
Yeah. And I think that, again, that kind of goes into the whole, I can't read people's minds. Like, I don't know exactly what they need. So unless someone opens up and tells me what they need or what they want, I can't really do too much. All I can do is what I can do in the moment. But I mean, damn, that's hard sometimes, man. It really is.
It's hard whenever, especially when like outcomes like this happen, where unfortunately it's not just that we lose a brother, it's that someone loses, a family loses their brother, you know. I could not be there whenever his family went to go pick up his things, and they were telling me the story, and I just was like, that's because I know that feeling whenever that happened with Chris and his parents had to come pick up his stuff. I'm like, I just cannot go through that, because it's hard for me to accept death sometimes, because I feel like there's something that could have been done to prevent it, when ultimately when it's going to be your time.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter really how you go, it's going to be your time.
And I mean, some people get to choose that and some people don't. And I think that's where it's also being a little selfish, right? And just, but I didn't want that person to go yet. And it's having to accept that, again, they made a choice. And their choice was their choice. Just like my choice to get into recovery means that I had to move away from friends, family, the hometown that I'm from. I had to move away from all of everything I know and just completely restart, right? But I had to accept it. And if I didn't accept it, I'd be sitting here beating myself up, because it would start kind of doing that what if game again.
Yeah.
And that game gets so tiring, dude. That's where a lot of anxiety comes into play. Like,
yeah, no, I definitely feel that, because like even having to like officiate closing the doors with my immediate family, it took away all of the like, well, what if I do this? What if I get a job? What if I get a promotion? It turned into like, I don't have to earn their acknowledgement anymore.
Yep.
But that was the hard thing to accept, was that I need to close this door, because it's gonna drive me in circles, insane, and it's just not gonna be a healthy cycle for recovery and for growth, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, it's been a double-edged sword, because it also leaves me seared to to forming new relationships. If I had to close the door on my immediate family, I don't want to do that with anyone else. And so like, I have a hard time keeping a door open long, or even opening up a door with society or people in general, you know?
Yeah. And
which is literally the worst thing in recovery or as an addict, because the opposite of addiction is connection. And I'm over here like, nah, I have a sponsor.
And that's one of those things too, is like accepting recovery for what it is. It's a total 180 from what we were used to. It's a total 180 from what I was used to. Like I said, the opposite of it is connection. And I'm sitting here going like, but I lived up, like I heard it in a meeting earlier this evening, that I lived under a rock for so long. And it was just never as comfy as like Patrick from SpongeBob made it. And I was like, damn it, he's right. Because, I mean, yeah, I had friends-ish, but, man, it just really showed me I didn't. And then here's another thing. Whenever I got into recovering, like, you know how many people reached out and were actually like, are you okay? And none. I was like, okay, like, I had to accept that a lot of the friends that I thought I had and how close they were to me, I wasn't as close to them. And it's not so much like, oh, well, they hurt my feelings. It's like, well, I was kind of like not the best dude. And so, of course, they're going to keep me at arm's distance away, because otherwise I'm going to hurt them or something, or just neglect them. and I'm sitting here going like, oh, pity party, oh, like, oh, like no one wanted to be my friend. But in reality, it was that I was living under a rock and just sitting there with like a sign and like a big old spear, just like, go stay away. Everyone's trying to lift it, and I'm just like the hermit crab, just like, they lift one rock, I just find a bigger one that's harder to lift for everyone else, and then eventually people just give up.
Bro, I literally love that analogy, because that's where I feel like I'm at right now, because there's a lot of stuff going on in my personal life, and It has left me feeling, I used to feel like the wounded animal that's like lashing out at everyone who's helping, and lately I feel like I'm just like the wounded animal who's like running away to hide, to lick his wounds, you know, just away from everybody. And it's not necessarily like people that are hurting me. Again, it's like the situation with our brother that still literally plays in my head. And only because I know that they're now, once we got the news, there was nothing that could be done. There's no one you can go tell. There's no one, you know, there's only my process thought on that is, how can we most prevent this from happening? What doors did we close in order for someone to feel like they couldn't open up? And so like that goes in my head. And next week is actually Chris's birthday. So it's, unfortunately, it's the yearly, another checkup on his parents, you know, like, hey, how are you doing? And the reality of it is his parents are significantly old. And so it's never a good, easy phone call with them. It's always just like the update of how much older they're getting. Which, that one's one of those, you guys have lived a long and good life, but it's uneasy to me. And I don't know, like, it just feels like there's a lot going on, and I don't know if I'm having a hard time accepting it, or if like, I have accepted all of this, and I'm just like, I'm wounded, you know?
Yeah, and you very well could be, because acceptance and healing are not necessarily a straight line, if you will. So first, I have a question. Have you thought about going to see his parents? Not just call them, but go see them.
Yes, I actually saw them a couple months ago, but I haven't thought about that. Should I go see them recently? I honestly, like, I kind of like don't like calling them on these type of anniversaries because it's so scheduled.
Yeah,
so, and
face to face.
Yeah.
Because it's more of a connection. Doing it over the phone is giving, or sorry, I'm not trying to like give advice or unsolicited advice, but to me, if I were in your shoes, what it'd feel like is that phone is another deflection, if you will. It's another avenue of saying, I'm not ready to accept it in its entirety. I can't embrace it, you know. But so we know the five stages of acceptance and stuff, right?
It's hold on. It was on Taylor Swift's album cover. It's denial.
Hang on, you said Taylor Swift. Now I don't know if we're going to get copyrighted just for going over some psychological fact.
There's a lot to uncover with her, okay?
I mean, I'm not denying that. What I'm saying is that, like, I don't want to get copyright hit just because you said the words Taylor Swift and then stuffed it on her album.
No, it's just people have made the connection of, like, the colors or, like, the you know, so I thought I memorized them, but I don't. The all stages.
All right, what's the first one?
Denial.
Yeah, ding, ding, ding. Second one.
Anger.
Ding, ding, ding.
I don't know.
Bargaining.
Bargaining.
Then what's the next one?
Apologizing?
No. No. Depression.
Depression.
And then the last one is acceptance. So let's go over this stage. Pardon me. Let's actually go over this whole five stages thing, because like I said, it's not necessarily a straight line. A lot of like healing and recovery is more of a spiral. Sometimes you make a bunch of progress, but sometimes you go that much further back. But each time you make progress, you have to regress a little bit, because otherwise the progress that you make doesn't really count for too much, you know?
Does that make sense? Yeah, yeah.
Like with denial, I think that one is just straight up cut, easy, dry, and it's like, well, this happened. No, it didn't. It's kind of like getting pulled over by the cops whenever you're drunk driving, and you're like, I swear, sir, I'm not drunk, right? Like, or it could be, let's take it into the extreme, like a death of someone. Like, whenever I got that phone call about a little cousin, like, the first thing in my head was like, no, that didn't happen. That couldn't happen. There's no way that could happen. Like, so, I mean, denial is... I think that one is immediate. I think that one is the reaction, you know?
Yeah.
So then that leads us to anger. And of course, we've talked about this before, but anger is like the opposite of acceptance. It's us trying to be like, I want things this way. And then I'm mad because they didn't turn out that way, right?
Yeah.
Having it known to and live forever. But we're mad that their time came before, like, we were ready for it, you know? What's your take on anger?
Anger is, like, in those given situation, anger hits because I'm trying to find out who's to blame, you know?
Can you say that
anger
again?
Anger?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. You just went.
Oh, sorry. I was saying anger in those situations just hit because I was looking to see who's to blame, you know?
Mm.
Was it me? Was it his parents? You know, like, someone's to blame here. Not, I need to find out who so I can take out this anger on, you know?
Yeah.
So, but that's kind of like anger for, like, a lot of situations for me, is I'm trying to figure out who I can blame. And then the anger just builds up because I'm refusing to accept the fact that I had a part to play in situations, or that it really could be my fault, and I'm embarrassed.
So it goes back into denial.
Yes.
So anger, denial. So the third one, bargaining. I think that one's also fairly easy to go over, because, I mean, for myself, whenever I got that phone call, for me it was, why him, me? Like, please let's switch places. I'll gladly take that spot, you know, because, I mean, at that point I was already suicidal and just ready for everything to end. And it felt so unfair to everyone in the situation that it was like, why not take the person that was ready for something to end? And you took the one that had everything going for him, you know? And so I would have given literally anything and every part of myself to have that either not happen or not happen the way that it did happen. So, I mean, what's your experience with bargaining? Did you sit there and make bargains with yourself, with death?
I feel like I honestly, like, I still do. And me and my sponsor started to touch on that earlier, is like, I still, for some reason, like, I still, you know, like the kid that believes that the moon's made out of cheese?
It's not?
It's like one of those little beliefs that I still think that being a better person tomorrow is going to rewrite history. That, like,
it does rewrite history, though.
Well, what I'm saying is, like, he's not dead anymore. You know, like, if I'm a good person in the future, it's almost like just pretending that because I'm making my bed, he's going to come back. And, like, maybe I haven't accepted things, you know?
And see, like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, we can get stuck at a point, and, like, it's kind of like walking in mud, right? We're going, trudging along. Next thing you know, bam, you don't got a shoe. And it's like, well, now I got to go back and get this damn shoe. And maybe you lost another shoe along the way, and you're having a hard time getting that one shoe out. And so you just say, screw it, and you keep going. And then at the end of the mud, you're kind of like, well, crap, I actually need my shoes to keep going forward. And instead of going back, you just kind of sit there and look at them. And you think to yourself, well, I'm at the end of the mud, so obviously I'm where I need to be, right? But you're not out of the mud. You're just sitting at the edge of it going, all right, I'm good. Because,
yeah.
And kind of like what you were saying, though, rewriting history. And I think in a way, what we do today does rewrite history in a sense, not just for the future aspect, but because a memory lives with us. What we decide to do with that memory either means that they're still alive in some way, shape, or form, or they're not, you know, and that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, maybe I'm still in that bargaining stage because...
What would you give?
What do you mean?
What would you give? And which are we talking about? Or both of them?
Really both of them. Because it hit too close to home. It was like the same wound. Uh-huh. A wound that was unhealed gets another wound exactly the same right next to it, you know?
Yeah.
And so it just, I don't know, like, I like, there's nothing I can do about that situation, but there's some, okay, so, like, especially with Chris, that one hit out of the blue, hit out of, like, you know, I didn't know recovery those days. I didn't want to know recovery those days. But then knowing recovery and having someone so close to, you know, not just me, I don't know how other people think about it, but, like, we had someone in our circle just pass away, you know? And I'm like, how... do we, I can't just like move on, you know? I don't know why I can't just like move on, but sometimes I'm like, I need to, because I, dude, Chris passed away like in 2020. It is, that's now going to be like 4 years.
And yeah, I mean, that were one of those things that it said in the stages, but I don't think it actually says time anywhere in there. So I just found the 7 steps of acceptance. You want me to go through those real quick?
Ooh, yeah, read those out loud.
All right, 7 stages of acceptance: shock and denial. Second one, pain and guilt. Third is anger and bargaining. Then we have depression. And then here, this is where you're at, or were, the upward turn. And then reconstruction and working through. And then acceptance and hope. And that's it.
I like the acceptance and hope at the end. I like those two words put together.
Yeah. And that's what I was talking about with the spiral, was that upward turn. Just because, like, a spiral, like, you're going up and you gotta come back around a little bit, you know? You gotta turn around to get your shoe out of the mud if you want to keep going, because you see the end of the mud and you're thinking, like, cool, I'm almost there, but you realize I still need that shoe. I mean, I don't know about you, but, like, I'd rather have a muddy shoe than no shoe. And I think there's something to say in that, too, but we'll skip that for right now. But then depression, like, what is that with, that's all on its own in 7 stages. And I think that's for a good reason, is because depression is something that you have to sit with. And it's everyone's worst friend, if that makes any sense. Should I expand on that?
Yeah, because I like how you say the worst friend, because it's obviously someone who's around, but just like, the worst one. Like me.
I wouldn't say you're the worst friend, but you're definitely better than depression.
I don't know, the way this episode's turned out.
Oh man, I'm depressed. No, but so depression is the worst friend, because it's something that's going to help you through a tough time. It's kind of like how a lot of people are afraid of death. I look at death as someone that would be there at the end, walking me to wherever I'm supposed to go after, you know, and greeting me with a smile. And depression would be like Eeyore, like someone that's just totally glummed out, but they're there to share in a feeling with you. And depression is one of those feelings that is like icky, if it's heavy and no one really likes it. And the way to get it off is through connection, and also accepting that it's there. But if you don't hang out with your depression, you're going to be avoiding it, right? and then he's going to get upset, or she. Depression's just going to get upset and start calling your phone, texting you all the time, and it's just going to be a constant reminder that, hey, you had plans to go do something, and you just decided to say, nah, never mind. And, like, depression is one of those things that has to be acknowledged. Like, you have to recognize that it's there if you're going to do anything with it. And, like, it's, again, it's a friend because we have to let it be. And by let it be, I mean we just let it run its course. We have to accept that there's nothing we can do about it. It's a feeling, right? And feelings are nothing but messengers telling us what's going on in the world around us. And if I'm depressed, that means that something I really enjoyed and loved has come to an end. Or seemingly come to an end.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've hung out with depression enough that I can say that it's a friend. But it's that one that I'm like, fuck, it's back. And then I hang out with them anyways because it's like Eeyore. Like, I can't expect something to be what it isn't. I can't expect depression to come around and be all happy-go-lucky. And, you know, like, that's not how depression works. I can't get happy whenever depression comes around because then it's running away. And that's what part of my addiction was run away from depression. And I had to acknowledge it and sit with it. And I had to learn the lessons that it was there to teach me.
Yeah.
Otherwise it was never going to really leave me alone. So that's why depression is the worst friend. Now, let's talk about the upward turn, where I feel like you might be. What do you feel about that, the upward turn?
It's like, okay, so it's like I kept moving. So,
what?
I don't know. If you look at a graphing paper,
yeah,
and you go start at one end and you go to the left, or like you're trying to go from the right to the left, but you're making a line and then all of a sudden you stop midway and you make an upward turn. It's like you're moving, but you're not going to where your destination was.
Ooh, okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's like you're progress, but you're still in the area. Like you're not going in the direction you were headed anymore.
Yeah, so you're still in turmoil, essentially.
Yes.
So I think that falls back to our emotional maturity and intellect and growth episode, because like you said, like, what if you start going in the way you're not supposed to go? Like, it's still growth, but it's not the right way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Am I the only one that makes that connection?
No, like, because, but the thing is that, like, I know which way I don't want to go. I don't want to go back.
Well, whenever you say back, do you mean down, or do you mean from the get-go to where you essentially
from the get-go? Because I've even learned and come to accept that even the downtimes are different downtimes than the last one, so each of them offers a different opportunity to grow, you know?
Yeah. So you're, what it feels like to me, maybe instead of a spiral, it's been a zigzag. Because you were, like, you did start going up and you came forward a little bit more, and then this incident pushed you back to the get-go. So, like, you have all that growth upward and then a little bit more further out, but then it kind of, like, reset you. Maybe not all the way back, but that's because you had that experience already, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But, I mean, my take on that. So let's look at reconstruction and working through. What do you get out of those two, well, four words technically?
Reconstruction and working through, like, what I understood from it was kind of like what I try to do is, like, reconstruct what has happened. How did this happen? So now how do, like, it's almost, okay, so it's like buying a build a clock, you know? And you're constructing it, and then you learn how to do it on your own some other way. So you, like, you deconstruct it so you can now you know how to do it, you know? I don't know if that even fits, or if, like, you can get what I'm trying to paint here.
I thought you were trying to build a clock. So that makes sense. And for me, reconstruction is saying, like, here's the pieces of what was. Now I may be missing some pieces whenever I put this back together, but I'm going to have to make it work anyways. So it's like going back to get my shoe that I lost in the mud, and on pulling it out, it's like I lost the shoelace, you know? And so it's like, well, I still have most of what I had, but now I'm missing a part of it, but I'm just going to have to work through. I'm going to have to keep walking with a shoe that doesn't have mud. But it has mud. I'm just going to have to walk with a shoe that no longer has a shoelace.
Is this a reference to going to jail?
Is it?
I don't know, because don't do shoelaces?
They do if you're on suicide watch.
Oh.
Yeah, I've been there. So, I don't know, maybe I have some feelings about being put on suicide watch. Like, I'm not suicidal, and then deep down I was like, I am really suicidal. So, I think I was a little upset about that. Maybe you're right. Maybe there's something going on I need to explore.
I feel like that's what our counselor would have said. Let me just say this, you know? She would do that thing, and then you're just like...
It's like, how did you know? But that's the thing, is that's why that's her profession. That's why she gets paid to sit there and make people think about it. And that's one of the things about psychologists too, is that they're not there to remove the problems. They're there to help you recognize the problems.
Yeah. So I knew a friend who took out like his anger, frustration out on me. Oof. And he's like, even my therapist says this, that's what people should do. I'm like, if your therapist is not challenging the way you think, then, and always agreeing to you and what you think you need, you're just being like you're paying his bills.
Yeah.
That's all you're doing.
Or being entirely manipulative.
Sorry.
Or you're just being entirely manipulative. Like, I mean, wow. My therapist said I should take my anger out on you. Like, can I?
Oh, No. No,
no.
What he told me was that what he wanted for me is what even his therapist says that people should give him. It's like me telling my therapist, why can't people just agree with me? And my therapist telling me, you know what? They should. Everyone, like, you are a good person. They should agree with you.
But are you?
You know? My therapist would be like, why do you, like, what makes you a greater person than them? You know?
Yeah.
Like, so that's what I loved about the counselor I got, was she challenged everything I bring forward to her. I'm like, she knew when to like, stop, let's do that, you know? And, yeah. But she would help me think other ways than what I was normal, than what I was used to thinking, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's what that reconstruction and working through is.
What happened?
Every time you mess with your earpiece, I can hear it.
They're like on 10%.
Oh, your phone?
No,
or your earbud?
No. Yeah.
We are at 44 minutes, so we're almost there. Just hang on, earbuds. You can do it.
You need to accept that they're going to die.
You need to accept that it has a battery and you need it. But no, I mean, great, because I had the same counselor. And I got to say, like, she, first of all, wouldn't take my crap. That was a big one. And then second of all, she would call me on it and challenge me. And that's where I'm saying that it's like they're there to help show us the problem. And then they help us walk through it. And so that'd be like, I got my shoe. Now it has no shoelace. What do I do with the shoe that has no shoelace? I put it on and then maybe get some, like, I don't know, like rip up a shirt or something a little bit, like take off a sleeve and turn it into a shoelace. And I wouldn't know that unless someone was walking with me, you know? And then maybe that's where depression comes into play. Is that good old friend? It's like, hey, you know, you can do this, right? And it's like, man. Depression, you're right. But all right, let's end with acceptance and hope.
Oh.
Hope. I said hope.
No, acceptance. I said hope because my eggs are growing out.
Do 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 do.
Okay.
Okay.
So you said hope.
Acceptance.
I love those two words together.
What? And hope?
Yeah.
You mean those three words together?
Why
do you love acceptance and hope being put together?
Because sometimes acceptance for me, like I accept acceptance as a word of like defeat.
Ooh, ouch. Ouch. Like surrender?
Yeah. Well, they were... Let me read this part out of the...
Oh, pulling out the any book.
No, because there was this thing about acceptance or surrender. There's a huge difference between... And this is out of the NA Narcotics Anonymous Step Working Guide on page 6, surrender. There's a huge difference between resignation and surrender. Resignation is what we feel when we've realized we're addicts, but haven't yet accepted recovery as the solution to our problem. Yeah, many of us have found ourselves at this point long before coming to Narcotics Anonymous. We may have thought that it was our destiny to be addicts, to live and die in our addiction. Surrender, on the other hand, is what happens when we've accepted the first step as something that is true for us and have accepted that recovery is the solution. We don't want our lives to be the way they have been, and we don't want to keep feeling the way we have been feeling.
Yeah.
So, I love that because giving up isn't necessarily the same thing as, like, surrender, you know?
Yeah. Okay. That makes a lot more sense. Thank you for reading that. And anyways, go on with hope.
But hope brings acceptance of, like, just because it is this way, like, it brings it to, like, the sting of the moment. Like, you accepted it, but there's still hope in the next minute, you know? And then the next minute, like, tomorrow's a new day kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. So it doesn't have to be the same way forever or again, right? Oh, his earbuds died. Sorry, everyone. We're having some technical difficulties.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
And he's back.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. But like I just said, so you're saying hope is like being able to realize that it doesn't have to be the same way again, and it can be different next time.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I can hear myself.
Oh, I'm using the other earbud, like, because I only had the right one in, and now I have the left one in, and it's being weird, so it's probably my earbud. Here, hang on.
Oh, I can't change that while I'm recording. Figure something out. This is why we need to get you a laptop, man.
Accept it.
I have accepted it, and that's why I'm sitting here going like, we need to do something, because now that I've accepted it, we can work on a solution.
There's hope.
Yes, there is hope indeed. And sometimes though, that's hard to see whenever anger pops back up because expectations.
Ooh, is that your cue for the next episode?
What, expectations?
Yay!
I mean, if that's what you accept it to be, exception, right? No, hang on, wait, if you expect acceptance to be today's episode, then you can expect tomorrow's episode, or next week's episode, to be about expecting acceptance. Well, not accept. Sorry, it's a tongue twister. Expecting acceptance. It's not going to be about expecting acceptance. It's just going to be about expecting things that make you sit there and go, It's kind of like technology. I get mad at technology because it has a purpose and it has a duty, but whenever it doesn't live up to it, I get mad. I can't accept it. That it is also flawed.
It's man-made.
I was about to say it's because it was made by people. So, of course, it's going to have its flaws. Isn't that weird? It's like, no matter where we go, I don't have to be an addict or an alcoholic to mess things up. I just have to be human.
Exactly. But, I mean, I think that's that like, everybody learns in their own way and in their own time is what it actually means to be human. And for me, I feel like a lot of that is allowing other people to be human, too.
Perfect. And then what happens, though, whenever someone doesn't accept for themselves and or others? That's whenever we just get those people that seem to be perpetually with a stick up their you-know-what, right? Because they can't accept that either they themselves are going to be human and then that others are going to be human. And being human is to be flawed. But there's perfection and the flaw. But you expect perfection, then you're not going to get perfection because you're not going to accept the flaws that come with it.
Or that you're flawed. If you expect perfection, you not accepted that we're human beings and we're flawed.
Yep. And But acceptance, though, I think one of the biggest things about it is that it does take time, depending on what the situation in the scenario is, you know? Because it's not necessarily something that is just one and done, and you're like, all right, cool, like, I can wash my hands of that and never have to worry about it again. The thing is it's one of those things that I got my mud shoe, now I need to go wash my mud shoe, and then it's going to be wet, and now I got to let the mud shoe that's now wet dry, and then I got to get the shoelace, and then I got to relace the shoe, and then, you know, it's something, it's a process. Acceptance is a process, hence why there's the 7 stages of acceptance.
I need to familiarize myself with it more, because I'm glad you put that up, because it gives me something to do.
Ooh, like you don't already
have it. It gives me hope.
It gives you hope. Hope. I mean, I hope that some people can learn to accept themselves and others, and just know that being human is...
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I guess that's a kind of like a a stigmatism too of
a stigmata.
People in recovery is now you're perfect, you know? Or like, I don't know, some people see recovery different, because it's like, there's some people in my normal life where like, I feel like I'm not allowed to be human, because, and because I'm always open and transparent about my recovery and like my sponsorship and like things that come along with it and the things we learn. And it's like, just because I'm learning these things doesn't mean I'm not gonna like overreact or get frustrated. Like, yes, I have steps that I take whenever these feelings prop up, but they're still gonna prop up.
Yes, 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 yes. But may I hit you with something, that there's a reason why those people may not like you being in recovery?
Why?
Because people that are not the nicest, let's just say it that way, will prefer the version of you that they had the most power over. Does that make sense?
Yes, you like completed a missing puzzle piece for me.
I wish your camera were on so I could have seen that puzzle like just like finish, because
it would have been a slow one eye blink. That's a reference. That's a reference to something. But
people will want to remember and always view you as the version of you that they could hold a gun up to your head and make you do whatever it is that they wanted you to do. And whenever you grow out of that version of you, whenever you go and you better yourself, and they don't like it, because now you took away a feeling of their power. You took out a part of their belonging in the world. So now they're just kind of left sitting there going like, well, now what? So that's something that they're just going to have to learn how to accept.
But that's my mom. I'm just kidding.
She's going to have to accept all of that. I don't know what else to say besides she's going to have to accept it, because if she doesn't accept it, then she doesn't accept it.
Right. No, because there was an inspirational meme on the Facebook.
It's a meme.
And it said, you have to quit hanging around people who don't value you, don't see, don't want the best for you and all that. And some guy replied with, but that's my mom. And I died laughing, man.
It's a meme.
Meme.
This right here is what I mean by it's not always going to be acceptable. It's not acceptable.
A meme?
It's a meme.
You know what they call it in Spanish?
Hang on, wait. Do they pronounce it like it's spelt?
Yes. A meme. So that's like being bilingual. It's English and Spanish. It's a meme.
Okay, I'll accept your logic there. I'll accept it. But it doesn't mean that it's right. Or maybe me accepting it means that it is right. I don't know. You've got me confused, because I am like part bilingual, so now I'm just sitting here questioning my own morals. Thanks. I didn't expect to come into this situation leaving with, well, I guess Simba was right about Mimi the whole time. I've been saying it wrong. Kind of like how I went into a meeting one morning and I didn't go in expecting to come out with a fear of the sun not rising in the east one day.
It rises in the west, actually.
I'm going to hurt something. And it's probably my abdomen having a hernia. I'm just joking. But but no, we got just a couple minutes left. So is there any parting words you want to give to the listeners about acceptance?
Yes, is learn how to take your time and don't be hard on yourself, because it's not always easy. And just because this time it's easy doesn't mean the next one's going to be. So just learn to forgive yourself and take time.
I think you're talking to yourself there a lot too.
Shut up. Why did you have to ruin it like that?
Because sometimes we say things to other people that were actually meant for ourselves.
How did you say that? Like, you just had to ruin that.
I didn't ruin nothing. Because what I got to say for acceptance was essentially going to be the same thing. It was going to be, you got to accept things for what it is. And just because it is what it is doesn't mean it isn't what it shouldn't be either.
Ooh.
So, and I mean, but that's kind of the thing, is that it shouldn't be the way that we want it to or should be. But that's the thing, is that I got to accept it. And I got to accept my past actions because they've led me to where I am now. And without having done those past actions and past situations, I wouldn't be who I am. And I've learned to accept myself for who I am. Right? And then that's right. That's what makes every moment magical, is being able to sit here and be able to love and accept myself. Because I'm human. And that's all I need to know. But Simba, unfortunately, our viewers, our listeners, are going to have to expect next episode to be about expectations.
Simba? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
All right. Well, folks, that's all the time that we have for this episode of Acceptance. So we hope to see you next week and be ready to go over expectations. Until then, y'all have a good rest of the day. Be safe and love y'all.
Bye.